Hello and welcome to an awkward South Beach Sessions that I really didn't want to do. I'm Dan Lebatard, but you guys pressured us into it. You wanted answers for Jorge Masvidal's politics, and so we're going to give you the answers to his politics. We're going to talk to him about this. It's not going to be one of these fun, light conversations we usually have with him, the ones we prefer, the superficial ones. We appreciate that you guys hold us accountable. This is not a conversation that I wanted to have, but for your edification, you should know a lot of Cuban people in Miami think the way Jorge Masvidal does politically. He wore a Trump mask, headed into the octagon. We've had a great deal of fun with him. You know, he brought Stugatz on stage with him for the weigh-in. Stugatz was sitting there with The Rock. That part was fun. This part, less fun, because what you have happening in Miami right now, it's a weird thing where there is only one group with whom Donald Trump has improved his Q rating since 2016, and that is Cubans. I know many of you are weirded out when you see Black Lives Matter protests in Miami, and some Cubans are like using the car to hit a protester, or there's hostility around protests. Cubans think this way because Cuban history goes back to distrusting Democrats, distrusting the media. And so what you will find here, and we fact-checked some of the stuff that he said afterward, and it's been rebutted or disproven. We didn't have the ability to do that in real time because I was conducting the interview and I didn't want to just keep going back and altering things. But there were a couple of alterations that needed to be made factually, including some of the things that he said about that Honey Bunny couple from Pulp Fiction in St. Louis that was, you know, holding the small revolver and the guy's got an AK and a salmon-colored shirt, you know, tucked into his white pants and they're barefooted. Some facts are wrong there and have been proven to be wrong, but we didn't have the time to do it inside of the interview. Just know that this is different than what we usually do, but it's familiar to Mike and Billy and I. We all know someone who thinks like this, because if you come from Cuba or Cubans, you're going to find some of this, just a distrust of propaganda and a fear of loss of freedom.
And the propaganda stuff is curious because, I mean, you could see what's going on right now, and the government says one thing while the media says another, and Jorge Masvidal is siding with the government, which is propaganda 101. But the seeds were sown back at the Bay of Pigs with the Democratic president. As you mentioned, there's just a distrust from Cubans with the Democratic Party, whether it's intercepting boats and no longer granting them American citizenship like Bill Clinton did, or Barack Obama trying to normalize relations with Cuba, ending wet foot, dry foot. There has been a lot of distrust between Cubans and the Democratic Party, and Republicans seize on that. This is a huge part of their voting base in a perpetual swing state, and they play up to that. And what Jorge Masvidal says here, outside of the reprehensible QAnon stuff, is stuff that I've heard my entire life. Most of my lifelong Miami friends believe this stuff.
Just so that you understand, if you're not in Miami, what he means by wet foot, dry foot, and this alone is enough for Cubans to stay entrenched on what have been political beliefs since the 60s. If a Cuban ends up on land here, a Cuban gets to stay here. That is not the case for Haitians. It is not the case for a lot of people. And it's enough to form your political beliefs around that freedom, because as you know, if you've heard us talk on the show, Cubans literally throw their lives to the wind, as Masvidal's father did, in order to get to that freedom. So they become one-issue voters on freedom, and they don't trust Democrats to give them that freedom because they think Democrats are a little too close to socialism. So anyways, all of this was awkward. It's not light. It's not fun. You're going to be disappointed by it, probably. I'm disappointed by it. It doesn't mean we're going to end this relationship, though. We could disagree about politics and still enjoy more superficial pursuit. Before we get to that, here is Mike Ryan to tell you who this week's sponsor of South Beach Sessions is. We remind you again, please support the people who support us. They're the ones who are keeping all of this free for you. Everything at the Lebatard and Friends Network. Mike, tell the people who's sponsoring this week's South Beach Sessions. So here he is, Jorge Masvidal. So I want to explain to the audience the backstory on this association, because it goes back a ways. And I don't know if Jorge Masvidal knows this or not, but back when Kimbo Slice was a whispered secret on the internet and had not yet been brought to the mainstream, I did a cover story for ESPN, the magazine, on Kimbo Slice about his story, because it was so uniquely Miami, literally fighting in the streets of Miami. And so Kimbo Slice basically discovered this guy, Jorge Masvidal, whose story is even more uniquely Miami, because he comes from Cuba. He comes from that backstory and those roots, and literally has gone from fighting with his fists on the street to a multi-million dollar payday. It's the American dream. It's what his father and his family dreamt about when they wanted freedom in Cuba. But then...
And my mother's an immigrant as well, don't forget.
And your mother's an immigrant as well, thank you. And so this backstory is interesting and uniquely Miami, and it's something that we fell in love with, his charisma, his charm, when he was around here. And now many of you are asking me to disassociate with him because of his politics. So you guys are always complaining that I never have anyone on the radio with whom the politics I disagree with. So I wanted to talk with Jorge a little bit about all of this stuff to see how informed he is and why he thinks the way he does. Because, Jorge, I really do think that if Kimbo Slice were here today, he would punch you in the head with making this Trump allegiance because of where we are as a country.
I don't think Kimbo actually would. I think he's a very... Maybe he didn't show it when he would do like a regular interview and he's talking about fighting, because... He's a very funny dude, very charismatic, but if you actually talk with Kimbo, he's got a lot of more smarts than you might give him credit for. If you just briefly knew him, or you just knew that surface of him. If you actually got to talk with my boy, he's a smart dude, man, you know?
But I was saying more
know what I'm talking about.
I was saying more because of where we are with race relations in this country, and when you do Trump allegiance stuff, like it seems like, you know, it seems like you're on the wrong side of the racial discussion.
I'll tell you another thing. This is how crazy we've gotten. And if you were too cool to be awake, not you in particular, but anybody listening, if you were too cool to be awake in history class and you were one of those cool kids that didn't need to know about history, well, then cool, right? But if you know enough to know that history repeats itself and a lot of things in history can come back to your face again, you know, like that shirt, man. You know that just what you told me right now, that people want you to dissociate from me because of my political views, that's happened in other places, and we know what that leads to, and it's nothing good, you know? Instead of actually your fans being, like, educated enough to be like, have him on and have a debate, let's hear where he's coming from. But you just, that's like me and you, let's say you're a radical left Democrat, right? And all of a sudden I'm like, no, I don't want to do no more shows with Dan, or I just think you're a bad person. That's not entirely right. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're not a Nazi, as long as you're not a communist, and you're out there making propaganda for these things that have shown to kill millions of people in every facet of history, when it's been communism or things of that nature, or Nazis, then what the hell? You know, what is this country itself coming to? I'm racist? I'm racist? People are going to dare say I'm racist? You know how many times I've been shoved in the ground by cops and had my face on the concrete for absolutely doing nothing? Because I've been on this journey since I've been 13 years old. And for some reason, since I got a tattoo on my neck and I'm a Latin dude, I've been discriminated a lot more than you would possibly think possible. Because I wasn't always Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. All of a sudden, everybody knows me. No, no, no. For many years, nobody knew me. And so when people would say I'm racist because I would pick a certain person, that lets you know where this is going as a society. They're using now that as a thing to wipe away all the good this man's actually done for my community. The lowest unemployment for Latin and black people, that gives us dignity. That gives my community dignity. People are working and making more money. The pay gaps that have happened in the middle class are nice, are good. It's numbers. It's facts. He's actually helping out my people. And I'm supposed to, not give credit to that? You know what I'm saying? Do I agree with all his policies? Hell no. There's a million things that need to change as well. But I see him doing more right in the sense of freedom and for my Latin people than a lot of other I'm sorry about the word, sorry. And for the black community, also the lowest black unemployment rates. That's huge, man. That's huge. That people are forgetting about. That's huge. Now, I don't know everything about politics, and I don't know everything about Trump, but when I talked to my mom, they came from a Latin American country, Peru, and she migrated over here. She tells me lots of things, you know, and she's not against Trump. She feels a lot of things he says are good. Some of the things she's like, no, I don't like this, I don't like that. But it's not like because she likes Trump or I like Trump or something like that. It's not like me and my mom stopped talking or nothing, you know. It's just crazy that society now is telling you if you're a Biden fan, well then you're Antifa or you're something crazy. And if you're Trump, you hate transgenders, you hate everything. You know, if you're a Trump fan, you basically you hate everything. You know, and it's crazy what society's coming down to. And we're seeing even your own fans are telling you to dissociate with me.
Well, I want to talk to you about sort of how the Cubanness in you shaped you in this regard. But do you understand that at this point in history, when you wear a Trump mask, what you can be signaling is I'm good with police brutality. I'm good with building a wall. I'm good with brown kids in cages at the border. You know, you're signaling some of that. Yes.
I'm signaling that to those that are not willing to spark thought and do their own research. Let me tell you something. Obama deported more people, more Latin people, more people browner than me and just as brown than any president. And that was like, I think on his first term. So why don't we address that? Why don't we address that? You're going to tell me Trump has deported more people? No, because the numbers show he hasn't. Obama actually did. So what are we saying? You know, and kids were put in cages before Trump, and that is a fact. So we're not going to sit here and say that this man put people of my color in cages. You think I would stand for that? You think I would be on the side of somebody that would dare do that, break up families? No, that's been going on, and he wasn't the one to start that either. And I'm sure you're very aware of this.
Not the one to start it, but he's hostile to minorities. Like you haven't, like you can say what you'd like about the job rates and the employment numbers because he likes to do that with the math. But you can't say that he doesn't look to scapegoat minorities at every turn. That team, when you call Black Lives Matter a symbol of hate, Jorge.
On that particular issue, like I haven't seen that. Like. From him. I just look at the numbers, like I say, and I try not to all day long be listening to CNN or any of these big news outlets because it just seems like as soon as things ain't going their way, things get said all the time. And it's just so much information out there. Obviously, if you're against any minority, Asians, Arabics, Blacks, anything like that, it's not a good thing. But what I do hear a lot that he's against is illegal immigrants. I think illegal immigrants should be treated with respect and dignity, but there has to be rules. There has to. It is a country of laws. And just my mom had to get a permission to come here. My dad eventually got permission from the government when he touched ground here. It's everybody has to follow laws. So in that regard, I think some things should change, but I'm not a politician. I can't say what has to change. But every man and woman and child should be treated with dignity when they come to this country. Be told, hey, no, you can't get in here. You got in illegally or whatever it is that happens. But during that process, there should be a lot of dignity because everybody that's a human deserves that. Or if they come from Haiti, they come from Mexico. So if there's problems in that regard, yeah, they need to change it overnight.
I've heard you talk about this portion of it because part of not knowing you very well is that I didn't know how you stood on any of these things, even understanding that many Cubans are lined up the way you are, where they're sort of one-issue voters on freedom, and what they see from the Democratic Party and what they saw from Bernie Sanders feels like socialism. So at the height of your priority list is what? Is making money from minorities? Is it simply, I want freedom protected, and I think Republicans do that better than Democrats?
Freedom for all. Freedom for every American citizen, resident, visas, whatever. And man, you don't think, because you said kindly, Bernie Sanders is socialism. I mean, at least from what I hear, that's like straight up socialism. You know, and that's not what this country is. Everybody that left their country and came here to be a part of this thing came here to for what? Capitalism. My father, your father, they escaped those governments because they didn't want to be told what to do, right or wrong.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Like, I can't disagree with, Jorge, is that
What does your father say about what's going on?
My parents see the echoes of some of the things that happened in the late 50s in Cuba, where they see the way that races are divided, and when you divide the races, the next thing that ends up happening after that is what you see in our streets, where it feels like freedom is falling because people are getting hit in the face with rubber bullets and peaceful protests are going sideways. So they've got some post-traumatic stress disorder as it regards all of this. It feels and looks familiar in the streets to them.
I'm not crazy, man. I'm not crazy. And my family agrees with that as well. And your family lived it. My family lived it. I've always listened. I'm much rather to listen to the oldest person in the room than some punk that just got out of college and hasn't experienced life. That's the person that I've always been. So if there's the current world champion of the world in the room, but there's an ex-world champion of the room that's in his 50s, 60s, I want to hear his stories. I want to hear his thoughts because he just has more experience in life. You understand what I'm saying? So I always listen to my elders. I get as much info from them. And what I hear from people that actually lived it, because there's one thing to hear about it, read about it, see it on YouTube. My father actually lived it. My uncles and aunts actually lived it. And this is something I've been hearing since about the age of 7 years old, you know? In one way or another, being politically charged towards, stand up towards against communism at all costs. And I say that 100% in my heart. Give me death or give me freedom. You know? And if you don't believe it like me, then you're the problem with society. That's the honest truth. If you don't want freedom and then you want to come and take other people's freedoms away, you're what's wrong with society.
I feel like Cubans really, that is the one that more than any other. But what do you do with Black Lives Matter and when black bodies are in the street and we're getting video of police brutality that can't be denied? And you've got the president shouting about law and order while black people are hurting again.
We have to go after these cops. Let me say something. I don't think all cops are bad, though I've had maybe 7 or 8 bad experiences myself. Like on the way to American Top Team in practice, I've been pulled over like twice. And in front of my whole neighborhood as they're passing by, I've been face down on the sidewalk for 10 minutes as these guys ransacked my car. And this was all based off 2 minutes that they saw me. They saw a tattoo on my neck. I'm a Latin dude, and I was in a fairly maybe decent car for the time because I'm making okay money. I'm already signed to a promotion. And that's it. I got the works hit with me. Do I agree that there needs to be, like, a policing of the policing? Hell yeah. And I feel that cops need to be held accountable for their actions. If somebody's running away and he poses no threat, no matter what the color of that person is, you can't take their life away. What are we talking about? How are you going to take this man's life away that was running away in Wendy's? You know, once it got to that point, I it's like, yeah, he won. Let him go. Let him go. Catch him later. You guys got technology nowadays. His car's there. I agree with you. There's a huge problem there, but that's not Trump didn't do that. This is happening in Democrat cities with Democrat governors. How's that Trump's fault? He's the one that pulled the trigger? That's what I'm saying. That's what they did in Cuba as well, to divide the people and then have them attack people. They're trying to blame it all on race when this is a problem that can be addressed. They can be fixed.
Does it not bother you that when presented with the information that I just gave you, that the president of the United States, and this the Democrats did not do and Obama did not do, when presented with the phrase Black Lives Matter, calls it a symbol of hate?
I want to take your word like if you said that, but I don't know where you got your info from. So when I hang up, what I'm going to do is invest like 2 hours into looking and seeing, did this man say that or did a bait? Like a clickbait thing or something, because he said something that maybe was in that neighborhood, and they, you know how it is, clickbait.
Well, but you've got paranoid suspicions about propaganda and everything because of where your family comes from, where you don't believe shit.
And
you don't believe anything.
And you don't. No, I do believe everything. I just have to search it. I have to see, like, if somebody tells me Dan Le Batard said you're an idiot, I'm not going to be like, I hate Dan, that guy's, man, what? I'm going to go look at it and see. No, Jorge Masvidal's actions in this particular case were that of an idiot. That's different than you saying I am an idiot, correct?
Yeah, I believe in newspapers, though. I come from journalism. I believe in the American press. So when you're asking me, like, I don't believe it's a failing New York Times. Now, I'm not saying that I don't descend from that, because very much my parents, my grandparents think a lot is propaganda because it's where they came from. They couldn't believe anything that the Cuban government was disseminating.
And look what happened to them. Do you remember? I'm sure you know this just as much as me. Before Batista, Cuba was a prosperous country. The Americans had helped them write a lot of their laws and government. They were flourishing. It was one of the best places on earth. Nothing to do with socialism or communism. You know, and that's my point. And they saw it and lived it. What it took for them to be broken down. You know, how are we not going to listen to these ancient elders that have nothing but wisdom? And just like my family, your family left everything they had behind. If they were, I don't know how, what state they were, if they were rich or they were poor over there or whatever it was, but they left that behind for freedom, man. That lets you know everything right there.
My parents are exiles. They had money and they left money because of how they valued freedom. It is why so many Cubans are Republicans. So I want to know, is your political imprinting, is it mostly Cuban / capitalism? Like those are the two places that where you're most likely to get your information on who you are and what you stand for politically.
Yes and no, you know, for the most part, yes. But do I believe that healthcare, and there's some things that should be fixed. Like, you know, if you don't have money to afford cancer treatment for the rest of your life, yes, somebody should be, there should be a force that takes care of you for life. So you don't have to worry about that because you just got dealt wrong cards. And some people are doing so good in life that not socialism, but you know what I mean? Healthcare should be right. I can't sit here and discuss the healthcare with you. I'm not a healthcare expert. I don't know what they have to do, but I believe it should just be something that's fair for everybody in their condition. I don't know how that comes to. I don't know. You get the smartest guys in the world to sit down and write those plans out. And in those regards, you know, but in a lot of things, yeah, I am, I guess you would say, a conservative Republican or something.
Colby Covington, is that act for real or is it just an act as it relates to the Trump stuff because he's doing it? Like, it sounds like you actually believe some of these things, whereas Colby Covington, I feel like he's trying
to be a
villain.
He's a troll and he trolls. And the thing that's most hated in a way is Mr. President Trump. And he feels like him associating with himself, he gets something. But you ask him a question on any stance and see what he tells you. You go do the journalism yourself. Don't take my word for it. You go do it on your own.
When are you going to fight that guy?
He's a bum. He's fragile. Listen, he trained for like 11 weeks to fight the guy that I fought and couldn't last, five rounds with him. I took it on 6-day notice. He's not the same caliber, so I'm only looking for the either the biggest fights or the toughest fights. He's neither.
I'm wondering here, one of the things that I started to ask you about when we were on the radio and there wasn't enough time to flesh it out, because you mentioned earlier in this, you were saying, well, as long as you're not Nazis, like let's all condemn Nazis. But when you hashtag QAnon, an organization that I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, your Twitter account is what introduced me to it. And they're out there with conspiracy theories that are alt-right, that are ending in some dangerous places where a guy is armed to the teeth and, you know, he's headed to a pizza parlor in Washington because of conspiracy theories that involve pedophilia and politicians that aren't true. Do you not see how and why that is reckless? How and why that is dangerous to be out here on the far, far right with the extremists?
Now, do I agree with everything that's on this website? No. And why I did that was just to spark thought. Now, when we go like to the mainstream media, I think it's, yeah, you should get some of your information from there. But I can tell you this, and this is just simple. Like if people listening didn't figure this out, well, you can thank me later. When you see me out in the streets, you can buy me a shot of my recuerdo. And this is just simple math. If I have a news channel and XYZ company, some brand company is giving me millions of dollars to run their ads on my thing, and then a press report comes out saying this shampoo is not good for your hair and there's proven studies in New Zealand from it and people are going bald from it. You think in my news channel I can pass that when this is one of my main sponsors?
I'm asking you.
Would that be practical business? Would that be good business?
I am asking you whether you see the danger or recklessness in this particular thing I'm talking about. As it recall, you're saying spark some thought.
I see the danger and spark some thought and go out there and research on your own. I'm not saying trust these people or nothing. I'm just saying go and do the, just like I do on a daily basis when my day's done and I want to see where's this world headed to. I dig on my own. I'll read a book. I'll talk to friends. I'll research online. I just don't take your word for it. Your word is not the one-all come out. Your word, and that goes for everybody's word. I'm going to go out there and research this stuff. And some things I've seen in this are crazy as hell. Some things I've seen under just provoke thought, you know. And I do it on both ends, you know.
You've also sort of been saying that DeSantis needs to – you've been egging him on to open up the state as if COVID doesn't exist. And obviously, you know, Miami is like Wuhan at the moment. So do you feel anything in the way of, I don't know, remorse about the fact that we keep opening this up and nobody's worse than Miami right now?
A couple of reports just came out saying how inflated those numbers were.
You don't believe anything today with the media, huh? You don't, like, you really don't believe much of it. Like, you have a distrust of the media.
So I just want numbers. And the media, man, not everything you could believe in the media, you know? I just went, right before Corona officially hit, I was on the way to Australia. I got on the WHO to check what's going on. This organization is getting literally billions of dollars. And at this time, this was like a week before they declared a pandemic. They were saying it wasn't a pandemic. It was safe to travel, and it was even safe to travel to Australia. When shortly when I got back, there was thousands of cases of corona in Australia. So how are you going to tell me believe anything blindly? I'm going to just constantly just be diligent. Just like when I am about fighting, I treat the news that I'm going to inhale as well. I'm going to be diligent about it. Why am I going to be lazy with my own future? I went to the WHO. I went to numerous other places, and they said, no, this is not a pandemic. It's okay to travel to these places. Literally a week later when I got back, the whole world is shut down. Now, they were saying all this other crazy stuff about a mask doesn't do anything, then a mask does do anything. Now, all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe them that corona is killing everybody in Florida. That's a lie. The death rates are dropping. You know, Mike Brown had gone through a series of tests to get up to that point. He didn't see nobody else different other than his girlfriend that's a nurse that gets tested regularly that was negative the whole time. He saw my group, and my group has been quarantined, as you saw. I just did about 7 tests just to be able to land in the island of Dubai, and then like 2 more tests to get to the actual fight. And Mike Brown gave 1 negative and 1 positive. Maybe these tests are not as accurate as we think is another thing, you know? How did he have it, and we slept together, like in the same house, all left on the same plane to Las Vegas in a private plane, you know, so it's not like we're spread out throughout the plane, and I don't have nothing, and nobody else has nothing, you know? It's weird, man. And if you want to just believe everything, that's on you, you know? But I'm not that person. I'm going to do research, and I'm going to see as much as I can from both ends. In fighting, when you're learning a technique, you got to learn how to do it offensive and defensive. It's the only way to do it, and I feel it's the same way with a lot of what's going on now.
Well, what do you think is happening as it relates specifically to coronavirus? Like, what do you think is?
I don't know.
What are the manipulations? What are you distrusting?
I'm just okay. Just off read off, man. I read some articles where the government, the federal government, I think it is, gives more money if you have corona, right? So in New York, it happened, and some things where reports came out saying that the numbers were inflated. Well, if that just happened once, that could always give doubt in my mind. So the initial numbers come out, cool. I want to see like actual hard numbers behind it. I want to see like a third party went and tested it. Just like when I take my supplements, they have to be third party tested, because I'm not just going to trust a supplement company when they tell me I'm the best supplements in the market. No. I want to get them third party tested, and I want a neutral party telling me what's really going on. And it's the same way I am now, you know?
I feel like, though, that you might just be doing, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, okay? That you might be doing hashtag QAnon because you don't mind a fight, you're an instigator, and you don't care what anybody thinks, and you're always out there selling, and controversy's not the worst thing in the world. It doesn't mean it's insincere. I just feel like some of this you're doing because I don't want to believe that you can affiliate yourself with something that is as extreme as QAnon, whatever the hell it is.
Definitely, I'm not affiliating myself with QAnon. I was provoking thought there. Just hey, this is some crazy stuff. What's going on here, huh? Check this out. That's it. I'm not telling nobody to believe that word for what. All I'm telling anybody listening to me is, do your own research, man. Do your own homework. That's it. Well, right now, do your own homework. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you to go to this or that, or come to my church and give a donation. No. And yeah, you were right on about one thing. I could care less what anybody thinks. You know. Cancel culture, all those type of things actually like make me want to voice my opinion more. Like, people shouldn't be like having to put their hand up in silence whether they pick this side or that side, you know? Just your fans telling me to dissociate from me because I said this or that shows you where society's heading. And your parents have spoken to you about this many times, just as is mine. And you think I'm going to believe these kids in college that freaking are like 22, 23 years old and doing all this craziness, or my parents that have actually lived it, have life experience, and have seen governments topple, successful governments topple, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that seems to be the biggest governor for Cuban people, because the part I can't get around, Jorge, is the like what is happening right now to black people is hostile in a way that is that feels unfair. And I got to imagine you've probably hurt some of your black friends because of this affiliation, because of where they land on this president, this administration, and how hostile it is to black people.
So my black friends that I've talked about it, they know where I stand. You know, I'm not a brother. I'm not black. I'm not a white guy either. I'm a Latin person. You know, I'm a minority in this country. Growing up in Miami, I wasn't maybe the biggest minority because Miami's overrun by Latins and blacks. So all my black friends, I haven't lost not one. They know where I'm coming from. They know what I stand for. Is there racism in this country? Man, no human is perfect. No human is perfect. I've felt it myself, so I know that there's racism. You know, I know that there's racism. But we're going to blame it on this guy, Trump, because how come Trump wasn't racist before he was president? Now, all of a sudden, this guy's the most racist guy ever?
Jorge, he was going after Obama on the birth certificate and stuff.
Okay, but wait up. That right there to me sounds like a little weird. You're saying he's racist because he went after this man's birth certificate? Since when does black mean you're not American? Like, you could be black and American as hell, you know? Just because he went after his birth certificate is some type of ploy to I don't know what, you know? But that doesn't mean he's racist because he wants his birth certificate.
You don't believe that the president of the United States is going after minorities and immigrants and black people and women? Like, you don't see that he is aligning himself at every turn with white men?
Dan, one look at his cabinet. Two, if I thought, man, this guy is racist, you think, my brother, I would be here doing any of this? You know, like, not that I'm saying this guy's perfect, because he's not. Nobody's perfect. But you think I would align myself with a racist?
Well, no, I do think that you don't see it, but you're not.
No, of course I see it, man. I see the manipulation from the media. You know, that's what I do see. I see guys like this guy Don Lemon trying to get us incited to go out and burn city. Why? Okay, let me ask you something. Why are white people burning down Latin and black businesses? Or they were even trying to come to my city and do something like that. You think I would stand from that? These people are coming from wherever the hell they're coming from, and after they burn our stuff, they're going to go back to wherever. That is manipulation. That's bad. So if you're under the peaceful protest saying, oh, this is peaceful to burn out somebody's business down, man, that guy, the people that work there, come on, they have kids. The guy that owns that has kids. You're destroying more lives. I'm not going to believe that burning something down, a business, is the right thing to do. Protesting, marches, getting after, going to parliament, making rules, signing petitions, getting all together and speaking as one voice is the way to do things. Burning somebody's businesses down, you know what that's going to do? That's going to incite more hate. It's going to incite more separation from the people. That's why they want that. We're all brothers and sisters under God, man. It's crazy. You know, we can't let them divide us. And I feel like it's just a constant day-to-day trying to divide us, man. My African brothers and sisters, I've lost not one friend. They all know what I'm saying and what I understand. And when I talk to them and I go, this is how I feel, it's just they're trying to get me against you, they all agree with me. You know, there's not one of my black friends that doesn't agree with me when I talk to them and I tell them, hey, man, I feel like this is a division of people, and I give them my history, and I'll introduce them to my dad, and my dad will be like, look, this is what I went through at this time, and blah, 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 blah. Then it makes sense to a lot of people.
Let's get to that part of it, because you and I haven't actually talked about the specifics of your father. You brought him in here one day to meet my father, and it was nice to see them together, because they're both from a different time. And so what are the ways in which his specific experiences are the things that shape your viewpoint today? Because you keep talking about your elders, and I got to imagine that his specific experiences are part of the place where your distrust arises, because you see the media separating this country, and I see the present administration separating this country.
We don't have enough time on this show, my brother. I don't have enough time to start getting into this, and then, you know, it's not a half-assed subject. You know, it's a very real, touching subject, because I've been hearing it from a very young age and in very in-depth. You know, like I told you, part of my family was working for the Cuban Communist Party, and they got very, very high up in it, one of my uncles. And the other part of the family, by the Communist Party, they were deemed terrorists. So, they'd also have lunch on the same household and dinner, which was my grandma would hold those dinners every Sunday, and they'd all still get together and have to coexist as a family. So I've heard it from both sides, you know, and I'm very well schooled in that sense. I can't tell you about a lot of other things in regarding politics, but in that sense, I'm very well schooled. And I get worried and scared, man, you know, and I'd rather be prepared than not.
Because we're looking at the apocalypse, it feels like, right? Like
it's, no, not like the apocalypse, like, I don't know, the trumpets are going to sound, but just certain barriers of society that are getting broken down to. It's things that I was hearing when I was like 16. I'd tell my dad, like, oh, get out of my face. This is America, man. That's never going to happen here. And then, you know, certain things you'll point out time and time again, and my other uncles will point out, and it just makes me believe that certain rights of ours are getting taken away. Like, how weird is this? That man that defended his house, right, because a mob was breaking into his house, so people that went viral, he had a rifle, and his chick had, like, a little handgun. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. It was ridiculous. Yeah. He had his salmon shirt tucked into his white pants. He was he was barefoot, and he was way too heavily armed under the circumstances to not look ridiculous.
Yeah, he definitely looked crazy. Now, I wasn't there and stuff, but I saw a video of his gate being destroyed, and he said people were going into his backyard. Now, I'm on the side of, if there's somebody in my house and I don't know what they're doing, I have the right to protect myself at all costs. And I have kids, so I'm not really even going to give you a chance to explain yourself if you're being violent in my area. Because I have kids and I have to protect them. That is my number one duty. So now I hear that this man got his firearms taken away because he protected his house. He doesn't know what these people are going to, if they destroyed a metal gate, you don't know where they're going to stop at. So this guy, from what I've seen and read, not just on the main media, but just gone and read the police report, things like that, it sounds like this man was protecting himself and his wife, because what is this unathletic individual going to do against two people, much less 100 people there? So he protected himself and just kept people off his property, off his backyard, and they seized his guns. Those are things that I was warned about since I was a kid that don't seem right with me. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to do it under a banner of we're doing a peaceful protest. Ain't nothing peaceful about breaking into a man's backyard and breaking his metal gate.
Well, you know what's interesting? So I'm curious in terms of the stories you heard in terms of freedom taken away, because they filled my childhood too, right? My mother chased through the streets with chains by police officers because at 14 years old she believed in religion. Like all the stories, what are the stories that you're thinking of when you think of taking guns or the neighborhood community guy who's spying on you? Like what are the stories mm-hmm. you're thinking of there?
Well, and you just gave a perfect example. In New York, they were paying you money to snitch on your fellow peers and citizens. What is that? How broken down of a society are they now? We're snitching on each other for a couple of dollars for this guy not wearing a mask? Get out of here, man. Anyways, well, you know, first they take your voice away, then your guns and things like that. But I heard a lot from the farmer side, right? So, like, you know, a wealthy man in Spain owned a farm, land. And then this was before the Castro administration. Then there was a worker of the farm. And he got a certain amount of meat, or he had a great deal that was very highly functional for them, you know. And I know because some of my uncles that are now rest in peace were hit by this, and they were farmers. So they were working the land for some Spaniard, and it was a great deal. You know, they took care of the whole land. They fed the cows. They did everything, and they got paid. When Fidel came in, they just took the cows away. They told the farmer, you're going to continue to work, and this is what you're going to eat. And it was something incredible. Like, they were getting, like, 4% of what the cow was, you know, where they used to get, like, a couple cows a year to be able to feed their family and sell. And then the Spaniard kept the rest. And this just came in and wiped them out. You're going to work just as hard, and you're going to barely make ends meet. And I was like, but how could people let this happen? He's like, because they came in under a complete different plan and ban, and they were saying free health care for everybody and this and that, and what we need to do is get the rich and redistribute the wealth. But what they actually did is destroy everybody, because we see what Cuba is, you know?
Can you tell
and
us?
And if you're listening, and if somebody's listening to this, and they're like, well, why does he keep bringing up Cuba? If you've gone to Cuba, and you like, oh, this place is great, oh my gosh, I loved it, I had such a good time in my life over there, you're the problem with society. Because you're having the time of your life. Because my people are dead broke, have nothing to eat. Women doctors over there have to be prostitutes to make ends meet. How broken down of a society is that? That's why I don't go over there. That's why my dad doesn't allow me to go over there. Because you'd be supporting the communist government. And they've broken down the society that a woman can be a doctor and she still has to give her body away to the tourists to make ends meet. And people, athletes, I hear athletes praising this place. I hear celebrities praising this place. What's wrong with you, man? Go move to Cuba. And I'm sorry for cursing. Go move to Cuba. Sell all your goods. Give all your stuff away here, and then go to Cuba.
How did your family end up here? What's the backstory on how you ended up here?
My family, they all moved from different parts and places, you know. So my dad was, though he was the youngest, he just got incredibly lucky. So my uncles that are like 8, 9 years older than him, they're part of a terrorist group over there, and they had been trying to escape Cuba for a while. They said they had about like 30 or 40 attempts, and they failed. My dad, on this first attempt, just out of straight luck at 15 years old, nails it. And they brag about it to this day. They go, I don't know how he did it. But they had attempted like 30 or 40 of them. They were much older, sophisticated. They had been working for a while already, and they just couldn't get it together, you know. They had a lot of successful friends and stuff. They were able to leave, whether it was on rafts or different things that they concocted, you know, like going to Mexico back then, or some of them were like with the traveling teams, with the athletic teams, and were able to defect like that, you know. My dad had to raft it up and got lucky, man, and that was nuts, bro.
So, God bless him. A 15-year-old, what are the details there? You're saying raft it up.
So him, his good friend at the time, and his friend's uncle found a tire tractor, right? Like a big tractor tire that was left over from one of the Revolution Wars or whatever, these farmers that they had ripped off, and their farm was going belly up. So they had this huge tractor tire there. They took the lining in from there, right? And they created like this raft. And you get as much water as you can, and you fill it up in containers so they float, and you take off to sea, you know, was their plan. And then they start paddling in the direction that they know. They had like a makeshift compass. They had water supply. They had freaking paddles, you know, to paddle away. And they had a couple fish, I think, in the beginning when they took off, something like that. I think in day two, they contaminate the water that they brought gets contaminated. My dad wasn't the best, I don't know, I guess. Or whoever it was that did it just didn't do a great job, so the water got contaminated with salt water. And that's it. It was a journey from there. He was out at sea like 6 days, you know.
Ooh.
He landed in the Bahamas. And from there, they took him to U.S. U.S. extradited him, I think. Not on bad charges or nothing. Just like, yo, we're going to bring you over here. We know what you did this for. And from there, his story begins, you know. He comes to the U.S. and he's basically by himself here, and he's just in government housing. So you can imagine, not the best neighborhoods, not the best place for a person to come out of a lot of times, especially if you have no direction, which is, I think, a huge problem in the Latin communities, you know? And, yeah, man, you know, his life was rough after that.
How rough? Like, what are the details before that? What are the details on how rough it was at sea on those 6 days?
He tells me it was rough, man. It was tough, you know. He had been paddling for already a couple of days. The water supply broke, and this is to the point that I know he was just of that's it. Like, that's another level that I never could think imaginable, you know. And they were out at sea for a little bit, and a dove hit the paddle, right? Like, landed on top of their paddle because he had the paddle up, and he started bringing the paddle down. His friend's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm gonna take a bite of this. I'm dying." He was like 4 days already, no water, no food, you know. And his friend goes, "No. That's a sign of God. Don't touch it." And he goes, all right. So he shakes the paddle, and then they get back to rowing. And he says quite some time later, when they stop rowing, like an hour later, 2 hours, however long, he's tired. So he like puts the paddle back up. And like shortly after, 5 minutes later, the dove lands on the paddle. And he starts, you know, bringing the paddle down nice and slow. And the guy goes, "What are you doing?" I told you that's a sign from God. And my dad looks at him and goes, "You're right. That is a sign of God." So he freaking bit this thing raw. He said he's never experienced a hunger or thirst like that. More than anything, he just wanted to like try to help his thirst. And then, you know,
God sent me some food. It's a sign from God. God sent me some food.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've never been to that. And I've cut crazy amounts of weight. I've never been to that point of hunger that I would consider biting a bird raw, you know, like that, with all the crazy blood and feathers and everything. He said took some feathers off and bit right into it, man.
And so when his life starts here, what's the struggle look like for him, and what does the struggle end up looking like for you as you're a young person?
The struggle for him is 10 times more intense than anything I had to go through, you know. It was a lot of misdirection, you know. He's in a bad neighborhood. He has no No, my dad, I'm antisocial, but my dad, like, not that he's antisocial, like, mean towards you, he's just very reserved. If you don't talk to him, he won't say a word to you, you know? So that in itself, and not knowing the language, he didn't do well in school, so he dropped out immediately. I think, like, 3 months into the program, he's like, man, I got to find a way to get money. And, you know, being in a bad neighborhood, some of his decisions weren't the best, you know?
Yeah, no, you have to do desperate things. People who come from Cuba, I mean, I'm sure you know plenty of them who have to do whatever it is they can to get by. The culture shock alone has to be stunning. To just have freedom, it's not what you expect when you get here.
Yeah, it's definitely not, because you might feel more like slavery. Because if you were in Cuba and, you know, you didn't have to work and you were still, like, provided just barely enough to make a living, you might think that this is slavery, because here you have to actually, if you don't have it, you have to go out and earn it, you know? Now, obviously, I'm all for earning keeping what you earn.
Yes, you have made that clear, my friend. Capitalism very high on your list. Basically, it feels like your politics.
It's not on yours?
Less so. But look, man,
No, wait. Let me ask you some questions. You've been asking me a bunch of questions.
All right, but I didn't have to struggle the way that you did. Like, I really didn't have to struggle. So money, like, I value freedom a lot. I value freedom a hell of a lot, dude, a lot more than I value money. Like, I don't love what my tax situation is, but I'm not voting based on my tax situation.
I don't know. I feel like capitalism is awesome. I mean, just in sports, you know, and just the guy, you know, that's behind, you know, that's the better guy, you know.
It sounds like your chief things are avoid communism and celebrate capitalism. Like, that's the top of the list on the Masvidal ticket.
Well, I mean, it goes in the sports that you love to cover, that I love to watch, you know. It the guy in he's not going to play that position because he's so well-liked, or everybody should be playing the position. No, it's the system rewards overachievers, right? And I think we all like it. You make a great life because you're able to do what you love and you do it amazingly. It's not like everybody's getting paid the same. Don't you agree with that? Should you make what all the other journalists are making? No, you should make what you make, you know, depending on how much hour and quality and time you put into it. So what's wrong with that?
You just made a lot of money. You made yourself a lot of money, and you're hoping basically that money comes in before we change governments because of how it is that you're going to be taxed on this money.
Yeah, I'm also for less taxes for the people. Why should we have to give more to the government if they're already not doing a great job with a lot of things? Why should we have to give them more money even? No, that shows that doesn't create more economy for this country. It's never been better for more jobs opening and stuff when you're taxing everybody more. Why are we taxing the guy that's working at Walmart more money? 30% or whatever it might jump up to now with the new regime. That, you know why? Because they want to keep you there forever. They don't want you to grow and be able to have enough pennies saved up that maybe you decide to open up a business, or maybe you fed on the first one, you got to do it a second time, but no, it'd be impossible because of these crazy taxes that they could put us up at. The higher taxes is not a good thing, ever.
We didn't have a lot of fun in this interview. I hope it didn't feel too much like an interrogation.
I had a blast, you know. I actually like being informed on both sides. I actually enjoy these type of things. You inform me on your political views and how you see things, but that's what people with common sense and just respect for human life do. You know, I'm not just gonna be like, I'm not gonna talk to Dan, he's an idiot. No, that and though a lot of your fans might have felt like that's kind of what they're doing us with society. Like, oh, if you're on that side, don't even talk to that person. That person's a rapist, homophobic, transphobic, you know. And then it's the same thing on the other side. They're saying, no, you can't talk to those people because those people are, and that's what they want, division. And it can't be like that, because then they won.
We'll laugh more next time, okay?
I was laughing on now.
I appreciate your time, and it was good talking to you. Thank you for being on with us, and thank you always for being so generous with your time with us.
Anytime, my brother.
A reminder that is not a conversation that I wanted to have. You guys shamed us into having it. I didn't notice until recently what Jorge Masvidal's politics were. I honestly wish I'd never known. I wish it would have been an ignorance that I had kept my entire life. Ignorance would have been bliss.
Damn, we kind of knew what his politics were, but it's a Miami thing. there are people in my life that I have cut off. There are countless group chats that I have exited. And there are other people in your life that you just have to make it work. I just wanted this to be a superficial fun thing where we can enjoy all the benefits of being friends with Jorge Masvidal and going out to the weigh-in and Stu Gatz.
Mike, I did not know this. You're the one who informed me of this. I was not aware. You saw how I pronounced that damn alt-right thing, even in this.
Yeah.
It's not something I was aware of before he introduced me to it, which is what sort of led to all those questions. Regardless,
yeah.
I either blame or credit you guys, the audience, for forcing that upon us. So if you don't like it, take it up with yourselves. Yeah. Like, go to a mirror and shout in a mirror. Do not yell at me.
The relationship is going to continue. I know that makes some people uncomfortable. I don't know how to make everybody happy here. If I had my druthers, this conversation would have never happened. I really just wanted to make this light and fun, but here we are. I did find the Quainon thing. I know you weren't that familiar just by judging how you were pronouncing it, and he was too. His excuse for that was it was bullshit. That was some Kanye logic. I was just trying to make people think. When you have that platform, you have to be better than Quainon. You just simply have to.
Do you know what druthers are? I don't know what druthers are. I don't know either.
When I close my eyes and I say druthers, what I picture are jowls.
Okay, so if you had your jowls...
picture the side of a face flapping in the wind. Druthers. Okay. What are druthers?
I don't know what druthers are. If you want to look this up...
Am I even saying that fine?
Should we look this up for them so they can have a moment of levity and light somewhere in the interview? The origins of druthers.
The person's preference in the matter.
No, I know, but what does it look like?
What does a druther look like?
Yeah, what is the origins? I just don't understand. It's just a word that exists that doesn't have any... any origins? It's just a word out there.
Hang on, I'm opening a new tab. I'm on Illuminati right now.
I wish I'd been able to type that fast while I was talking to him so I could fact check some of the stuff here.
I Google image druthers and parking lot. There's a bar called Druthers somewhere.
If I had my druthers, is where I go drinking.
Druthers is formerly known as Burger Queen. Oh, so Druthers is a restaurant chain. I could go for some druthers.
We're off next week. A reminder to rate, subscribe, and review on
review. Let's seize on that, Dan, because I'm finding new ways to work this Apple Podcast algorithm, and reviews are important. So if you just want to say pod good in a quick 5-star review, that'll mean the world to us.
Wow,
also,
the world.
Mean the world to us. Also,
if we had our druthers, you would all be giving 5-star good pod reviews.